Luke chapter 2 today. We've been going through the series. It's called Glory to God, and we're looking at people's response to the announcement and to the birth of Jesus. And so today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35. Our elder pastor Mike. Oh, I got to dismiss the kids. Sorry. I was wondering, like, okay, so if you're 5 to 11 or whatever that is, you go back there with Brady and Amy and they got you. I thought y'all were doing like the YMCA back there or something. I was like, what are y'all doing? I'm not doing that. Pastor Mike preached last week and it was an encouragement for sure. And my wife was like, man, Pastor Mike did a really good job. It was nice to have a little shorter sermon. I was like, I told her to stay home today. I'm joking. She's got a kid. We got a kiddo that's not feeling well, so she's at home. But shorter service, shorter sermon. People that love you the most can cut you the deepest. One time, I was on a mission trip to Africa, me and I was trying to remember exactly how many. There's like five or six, like aged 18 to 23 year olds, and I was like the 35 year old trip leader. That will test your patience, you know. But mission trip went well. We were in Africa, and then we had a stop back in London. And I mean, I probably didn't book the best ticket because I gave ourselves like 45 minutes from the time that this plane landed to that one taking off. And I was just like, hey, they're young. We'll be able to do it. And man, we got all the stuff from the plane. And London, especially the international, it's a pretty far way away from getting back to the other terminal. And so you have to go into what, you know, like in America, we call it the subway. They call it the underground tunnel or the tube. And so you got to get into the tube and travel through there underground and do all this stuff. And we get to the counter and we're like, all right, we're good. Here we go. We're getting our tickets for the next flight. And this girl that's with us, she goes, hey, I don't have my passport. I was like, oh man. I was like, where do you think it is? She goes, it's right in the front seat of the plane, like in the seat. It's in the back right there. I was like, okay. So there's no time. I'm like, so I tell the others, I was like, hey, y'all just go ahead. Y'all board the plane and I'll explain to my wife why I have to spend the night in London with a 23-year-old girl. Okay, we'll figure that out. All right. Like, so we're like, y'all just get on the plane. We're going to go back and try to get, like, they're not going to let us get back on the plane to get it anyway. So we hustle back over there. We actually do get it was right where she said it was. We got it. We get back. We board. We actually get to the plane. There was like three delays on the plane. And so that it allowed us to get onto there and make it in time. But when you're there, like, and on the subway, there'll be like a sign right here that says, watch your step, right? We've all seen that. Well, on the tube, it says, mind the gap, right? So mind the gap. And every time the doors open and close, and there was like seven stops every time to get to the back to the plane, every time they open, and I'm not going to do a British accent because I love y'all too much to, and I don't want to find my value diminished by y'all. So, but every time they open the door, they come on and say, mind the gap. And it's just been something that I've been looking at and remembered because it's just like, oh my, you know, because like the whole time you're just sitting there like waiting, they open, mind the gap, and they got to say it and you step on it. And what we're looking at today is there's this guy named Simeon in Luke chapter 2. And what we're going to be looking at today is the gap. There's a gap from when a promise is spoken to when it's fulfilled. And they say mind the gap because there's a gap between the platform and the train, and that's where the danger can occur. And so for us, and when we look at the life of Simeon, what we have to learn for ourselves is that we have to mind the gap. Because the gap is Jesus spoke it, the Lord spoke it, and there's a waiting period until the fulfillment happens. And in that gap is the danger. Because it's great to receive the word. It's great to have the word fulfilled, right? We all love to receive a word like, hey, this is going to happen. You're going to be, okay, awesome. And we love when it comes to pass. And you're like, oh, Lord, you're so good. But what do we hate? The gap. We hate waiting. We hate the space in between there. Because truthfully, sometimes the gap is like hours. Sometimes it's minutes. But then sometimes it's a long time. And when we look at the life of Simeon and as his response to the birth and to the announcement of Jesus, we see that he says, you revealed to me that I would not die until I saw the Messiah. And he says, here I am, I've seen him. You may take your servant in peace now. He waited so well. Because honestly, that waiting time was 2,000 years. You remember with Adam and Eve in the garden? There was heaven on earth. They sinned. They went and hid themselves. God came and found them and clothed them. And do you remember what he said? He said that the seed of the woman will what? This is interactive. The seed of the woman will what? Crush the head of the serpent. That is the first promise of Jesus Christ. What's interesting, this is a side note, so you can write it down, but it's great. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. Do you know that everywhere else where it talks about the seed, it's the seed of the man? But Jesus was from the seed of the woman. He was not from the sin nature of Adam. We are from the seed of a man. He was from the seed of a woman, which means that he did not have the sin nature that everyone else is born with. That's why he could undo everything that Adam had done. Side note, you can write it down, take it or leave it. But there you go. I found that interesting. The gap between God's promise and his fulfillment requires mindfulness, patience, and trust. It's in the gap that we learn to trust a God that can, but hasn't. That's good. Someone's going to post that today. In the gap is where we learn to trust a God that can, but hasn't. Waiting can be one of the most difficult seasons of our lives. Whether we're waiting for healing, for restoration, a breakthrough, freedom from addiction, the fulfillment of God's promises, a prodigal son to return, or just simply your spouse to get ready. You know, opposites attract is what they say, and they do. But man, they can test each other's patience. They always say, hey, just, you know, early on in marriage, you're like, hey, just tell her it starts 30 minutes earlier. And I'm like, why? So I can be mad for 30 more minutes? That doesn't make sense, right? Like me and Lauren, I have an idea, and this came up even last week when we had our staff elder Christmas party. But you know, like my idea of an appropriate arrival time does not always coincide with Lauren's wrong opinion of an appropriate arrival time. She's not here. Like this was planned. I thought she was going to be here. But anyway, right? So like me and Lauren have a completely wrong ideas. I think you should be 5 to 10 minutes early. Lauren thinks if you're 5 to 10 minutes early, that's like saying you're 2 hours early. And I'm like, babe, it's 5 minutes. She would rather be on time or 5 minutes late. And that just bothers me. Man, when Lauren gets ready, like if we're going somewhere, she goes into the bathroom and she shuts the door. And when she does that, I'm like, we ain't gonna make it. We're done. You know, and so I've got a routine that I do, and it's something I've developed over time is, you know, that when she goes in there, I start pacing all over the house. I'm just like, oh. You know, I'm trying to think like, you know, oh, hey, let me pick up this piece of trash. I'll throw it away. I pace. And then I'll go and, hey, babe, you doing good? No response. I'm like, okay, yeah, she's still okay, whatever. All right. You know, I'm like, okay, I'll get all the kids' stuff together, shoes on them. And then, all right, go start the car and come back inside. As it progresses, my footsteps get a little louder each time, you know, subconsciously. And so, then you go and like put my ear to the door so I can like try to gauge where she is at in the process. Okay, there's no shower going. That's good. I don't hear the blow dryer, so maybe she's on the curling iron. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so then I go to, I'll check the gas, and even if it's like 15/16 full, I'll just drive to the gas station right there, fill it up with gas, load the kids up in the car. I'll come back. Hey, babe, do you need me to help you with anything? She's inside there and she's responding how you would expect her to respond. And I'm like, all right, hey, babe, I'm going to grab your purse and your cup and all the, okay. It's 30 minutes of me working myself up into that. And so like waiting is not something that we enjoy. It frustrates me sometimes. And the good news is she comes out and she's looking beautiful and you're like, okay, yeah, that was worth the wait. You know, like, okay, here we go. I can get back. But today when we look at this, what we're going to be looking at is Simeon has this same thing that we're all after. Spoken word, the gap, the waiting, and where the promise is fulfilled. That's what we're all after. And so that's what we're going to look at today. So if you want to turn with me and stand as we read Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. It will be on the screen if you don't have your Bible. But here we go. Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence for all, all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." That's not going to be on many Christmas cards this year, is it? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. Thank you that every word that is spoken has come to pass. And so, Father, that we can rest in the truth of your word. May we be good hearers today. But may we be better doers. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One main idea. You ready? It'll be up on the screen. Don't fear the gap. Embrace it as a place that God is working, shaping you for his purposes. Are you waiting on something today? Are you trusting him for a breakthrough, a healing, a word of hope? Well, Simeon's story reminds us that God's timing is perfect. His promises are true and his presence sustains us in the waiting. Look at what it says in verse 25. So here's what we're going to say is, one, how are we going to wait so well? Like, how did Simeon respond to the unmet longings in his heart? How did he wait so well? And how did he hold on to his faith in his waiting? Well, it says that Simeon, in verse 25, it says that Simeon was righteous and devout. The beauty of a waiting heart is one that is anchored in God's promises and in his word. We know that there's not a lot of background about Simeon. Just this is really kind of the only mention. There is one other, like, kind of like a church history thing. I don't know if it's true or not, but there are quite a bit of people that believe it. But they say that Simeon, who had waited for Jesus to be born, Some tradition holds that Simeon actually lived to be like 270 or 360 years. I don't know, but that it's actually a pretty common belief that, and he was actually one that kind of helped translate the New Testament. So that could be true, could not be, but we don't know a lot about Simeon. But what we do know is through this that he was a person that was anchored into God's word, because once he begins to speak, he begins to speak scripture after scripture after scripture and ties it all together. Like he says that he was looking forward to Israel's consolation. Another version will say, or quite a few versions will say, he was looking for the comforter of Israel. That comes out of Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 1 and 2, where it reveals God's plans to send Jesus who would comfort his people and redeem them from their pit, from the sin. But what we also find in here is that Simeon was a man that knew his word. If we're going to wait well like Simeon, like if the whole thing of today is there's a promise that is spoken, it's fulfilled, and in between here is the gap. How are we going to be like Simeon, who waited so well? What I love about Simeon is that he held on to God's promises and he was rewarded by getting to hold onto the Savior as a baby. He held on to the promises and he got to hold Jesus. How are we going to wait so well? One, we have to be rooted and anchored into the word of God. You're going to encounter things in this world and you're going to be like, man, there's no way that I can do this. God said this and there's no way that he's going to be able to fulfill this. There's so much going on. Too much has to happen. And if you don't know God's word, then all those lies that the enemy's telling you is going to, they'll be true to you. If we're going to wait well, we have to start by being anchored and rooted in his word. Because there's things that you're like, okay, Lord, you're going to do this? I don't know how you're going to do that. And then we go back and we read and we go, oh, okay, you delivered 2 million Israelites from slavery in Egypt. You parted the Red Sea. You gave them a land that was flowing with milk and honey, their own promised land. Like, you look time after time after time. You go through Gideon. You go through David. You go through all these things. And once you begin to know the word of God, when he speaks something to you, you go, well, I believe him in that. That seems really far-fetched, and no one else is going to believe him, but I'm going to believe him. His word, because one thing that you have to remember is that his spoken word will never contradict his written word. So when he speaks something to you, you're always going to be able to go back into the word and find it. You're always going to be able to go back and go, hey, I'm going to hold on to this scripture right here. This is what the Lord said here. I've seen him do it time and time and time again. But if you don't know the word, then reason and logic will tell you to throw that out, that it's no good. That there's no way that it could have happened. Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that he might lie, or a son of man that he might change his mind. Does he speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill? God's promises are true. They're yes and they're amen. His word, it says, always accomplishes what it was set out to do. Never once does his word fail. But in his word is where we find our hope. In his word is where we anchor ourselves. Because if we don't do it in the word, then we'll do it by what other people say. We'll place all of our hope on somebody else instead of him. The word is so important. Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures. What was written long ago was written for our hope for endurance. This is not just a historical document, something that we just read and we can learn and we can memorize and we can know all the stories and go, oh yeah, I remember when that happened, like it was a history book. It was written for our instruction. We read about God delivering his people time and time again, not so that we can memorize it and so that we can impress people. But what it is to say, when I come into that, when I'm at my lowest point in life, I can go back and I can go, man, I see what he did right there to this for this person. When the woman was caught in sin, I see how Jesus responded. When the prodigal son wanders off and he comes back, I see how the Lord responds. And it's not just so it can be a story, but it's an instruction so that I can go, when I mess up, I know that I can run back to the arms of the Father and he's going to be there to receive me, not to rebuke me. The word is so important, because if we're not anchored in our word, you know where what we'll be anchored in? Our feelings and our emotions. Oh, well, I don't feel good. I don't feel like doing this. I don't think that God can do that. Our emotions will lead us astray every time. But the word of God is anchored in something so much more than just a thought, an emotion, or a feeling. It's anchored into years and years of God's faithfulness and his goodness. The more that we anchor our life to his word, the more that our hope will grow. Because as the world tries to pull us away, when the world tries to say, man, that's a bad decision, if we're anchored to his word, one, will never lose sight of him, and two, will never wander far away from him. In the scriptures, Simeon learned about God's plan, that God would one day renew all things and that he would bring this about through Israel and specifically the Messiah. It was in the scriptures that Simeon could read God's specific promises concerning the coming of Jesus. The problem is that in that waiting time, we can battle doubt and disappointment real easily. The longer that it takes, the more that doubt, unbelief can be stirred in our hearts if we don't wait well. But waiting is an active trust in God's timing and purposes. You see, most of the time that when we're waiting for things because we're impatient. And that we just want, when we wait, we're impatient because we just want what we want, when we want them, and how we want them. And we don't care if he has to move heaven and earth so that we can get what we want. Is that right? Is that y'all? That's probably just me. Yesterday I had a low tire. I knew that I had been needing to get tires. And you know, a lot of times my process of buying new tires is know that I need new tires for 3 months. And then wait till there's a blowout, and then I go, okay, I guess I'll go get new tires now. So I was trying to not be me, you know. And I was like, okay, I need new tires. I'm gonna go get them, and I thought I'm gonna get there early tomorrow. It's like 5 days before Christmas. No one's buying tires, right? Wrong. Everybody was buying tires. So then I was like, they're like, hey, you can come back at 6 tonight. And I was like, hey, I'll go somewhere else. All right. And so I walk out, and my tire is flat. I'm like, okay. I have a little compressor, so I air it up because they already said they weren't going to get to me. So I was like, okay, there's another shop 2.8 miles down the road. No worries. All right. That 2.8 miles felt like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You know, like I get the tire aired up, and as I'm airing it up, I can hear the and I'm like, oh, okay. So like I'm having my finger there and I'm still airing it up and I'm moving like, shh. I'm like, okay, okay. And it probably really wasn't going as fast as I was in my head, but I was like, man, this is going to go flat. 2.8 miles, I'll make it. I pull out red light. And so like, it's a T. And so left lane goes there. Right lane has to go there. Red light. And the person in front of me is going right. And I guess they don't know the law. Like you can just turn right. No one's coming. I mean, it's early and they're just sitting there and all in my head, I'm just going like, I swear I can hear it. I'm like, it's going down. Like, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to honk, but you know, man. Okay. And it's all I can hear is just this. So, okay, they finally go. I get behind them, first red light. It's red. Man, awesome. And it was like 2.8 miles, and it felt like forever. Why? Because in my waiting, I was impatient. I was anxious. I felt like I had to be the one that took care of it. And so after about a mile and a half, I finally was able to not hear the it was good, though, because it was only in my mind. And I was just driving, and because everybody was in my way, and they were being annoying, you know, and I was just like, all right. So it took me about a mile and a half, 30 minutes to just go, all right, Lord, it's going to be okay. You all right? Okay. And so finally we get there, and it's like, I say a prayer, I breathe, we get to the tire shop, and everything's fine. My tire wasn't even flat, but I do get my tires that I needed. But what happens is that, and in that moment, I just felt like the Lord was saying that we need to wait in such a way that it doesn't affect our integrity. We need to wait in such a way that puts others before ourselves. And we need to wait in such a way that pleases God. Because if we're being honest, and you know, I am, because I'm the one up here saying it, but y'all have all been in a similar situation waiting with the Lord, right? And you've become impatient, and you get to someone is a little bit slow, something taking a little bit longer, and then what happens? You're like, man, I should just honk the horn, right? Maybe God forgot. Maybe just a little honk, and he'll get out of the way. Or here's a red light. Does God not know that I need this to happen quickly? That bill is due pretty quick. My son is wandering farther away from the Lord. Like, does he not know this? Maybe just a little honk would help him. But we need to wait in such a way that doesn't compromise our integrity. Wait in such a way that places others before ourselves. And wait in such a way that pleases the Lord. The hardest thing to do when you wait, when you're waiting, is to let someone go in front of you, right? But what if we waited in such a way that said, Lord, you know how long I've been waiting on this. I don't know how long they've been waiting on it so they can go ahead before me. What if we waited in such a way? What if we were like Simeon, who was righteous and devout, who looked forward to Israel's consolation, to the comforter of Israel? What if we decided that waiting is not a problem, but it's an opportunity? See, today the main idea is one, we don't fear the gap, but we embrace it as a place where God is working, shaping us for his purposes. Simeon learned how a person could know God and honor God through his word. And through his word, this is our second point, is that Simeon lived obediently. The gap between the promise and the fulfillment, it's waiting, and it leaves room for disappointment, but also for hope and excitement. Simeon is described as righteous and devout. Righteous means upright, keep the commands of God, and approved by God. So Simeon was righteous and he was devout, which means taking hold well, carefully and surely. And see, we shouldn't read over those words, right? Like righteous and devout. Sometimes we can just be reading through words and be like, okay, that's good. But righteous and devout is like the highest praise from the word of God. Because why? Because it says he was righteous, that he knew the word, he knew God's laws, and he walked them out. Because most of us know right and wrong. Most of us know what is pleasing to God. But then to walk it out day in and day out in the waiting, in the face of not seeing that promise and that fulfillment come to life. You see that we have to choose to live obediently in our waiting. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Another way that it says it, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. We have the promise that is spoken. We have this gap and waiting period here where, one, we dig into the word, we're anchored to his word, and we walk obediently no matter what it looks like. I just love to think about, like, Noah. The word is spoken over him to build an ark. And 120 years later, the flood comes. There's so much there that I just want to know. That's a long time. But what you see is that when the proper time came, Noah was ready. He lived obediently, even in the waiting. Simeon doesn't give in to temptation. He doesn't turn to bitterness because each day he's choosing to trust the Lord. When I think about this waiting time, it's been a little over a year and a half. Me and Lauren have really been like following the Dave Ramsey debt-free plan. Rachel and Derek Berg have been counseling us to be able to get to that point. And it's been, like I said, over a year and a half where we've just really tried to go, man, we're tired of living like this, and we just want to be able to give generously and not be tied down to the stress of all those things. And so it's been over a year and a half, and man, praise the Lord. I think in like maybe 3-4 months, we're going to be there, and it's going to be glorious. And but in that year and a half, in this almost 2 years, you know, I think when we think about waiting, so many times what we think about waiting is a waiting room in a hospital, you know, and you just like sit down and you're like, okay, go ahead, just do whatever, right? I think so many times when we talk about waiting, we just sit back, cross our arms, and just go, okay, Lord, you do it. But really the idea of waiting is that you can either be active in your waiting or you can be passive in your waiting. In order to be active in your waiting, so like in this journey that we've been on for almost 2 years, like my heart can be active towards it. So that means that I'm gonna endure and that I'm gonna be faithful, like in my heart, right? So and you can apply it to any season of life that you've had to wait and go through. But for me, like this 2 years, my heart has. I've got to set my heart to endure and to be faithful. Because if not, then what happens is then that I become impatient and entitled. But if I'm actively waiting, right? And so that's where we are. We're actively waiting. We're going through the process. We're not just going, all right, Lord, we'll just wait and you take care of all this. No, it's like, hey, this is what you've given us. You spoke this word to us. We want to be debt-free, and here's what it is. Here's the fulfillment. We're in that waiting time, but waiting doesn't mean that we just get to sit there. No, it means that I have to train my heart to be faithful, because if not, Then I'm buying tickets to next week's, you know, Texas game in the playoff, right? That's where Jeff wants to be. But but that's not the right heart, because the word that he spoke is so that we could be more generous, so that we could be good stewards, and that's not a good steward for me in this season. But if I sit back and I look at it and I go, well, we could make it happen. I become impatient and entitled. But it's not just our heart, it's my mind. When we're in this waiting season, my mind has to stay active, because what happens is if I don't let my imagination grow, then it wanders and I become bored. So like for me, this is me, okay? And I'm just telling you, like for me in this waiting season, my mind has stayed active and into the plan, because I just get to dream of, man, Lord, imagine that day when I write that last check to pay off that last bill. I can't wait. Man, Lord, just imagine what we're going to be able to do with your money when I have it messed it up. Imagine how that's going to bless somebody that I don't need. So I get to imagine what it looks like. But if I don't, then you know what happens? I get bored and I wander and I go, Oh, but Lord, you can do more than with just a little bit than anybody else can. And my mind begins to wander on all the things that I want. In this waiting period, the hardest part is your will. You've got to break your will. Because my will would be, let's go buy a new pair of shoes right now. Man, just look at them, hold them, feel them, smell them. They're new, so don't worry. Man. But when we're in that gap and that waiting, we have to break our will that says, this is what you have for me. I'm going to stay focused no matter what. If not, then we'll just resign ourselves to defeat time and time again. In order to wait well, we have to be active in our waiting, but also we have to understand that God's plans are so much bigger than we can imagine. In our waiting, we grow impatient and bored, and we just give up because our goal and our vision is so small. Like we're looking at our life through a microscope, and we're like, Lord, come on. Like all we're seeing is me, me, me. And the Lord is up in heaven going, I see it all, man. And I work all things together for the good of those who love me and who are called according to my purposes. The problem is that God is far more patient than I'm comfortable with. Have you noticed that? God is far more willing to be patient than I'm comfortable with. I want it now. And the Lord goes, I'm going to work it out for your good. I think in our waiting, sometimes we can be frustrated because we think that we're ready. But you see that in this waiting, there's a bigger plan because maybe you're not ready or maybe somebody else isn't ready. And if you rush it too soon, it's never going to last. Waiting is difficult, but it becomes a lot easier when we recognize that God has a bigger plan. We have to accept his timing. Like when we wait, this missionary told me this. He said that God is very rarely early, but he's never late. The problem is I just don't know when on time is. I just don't know when that word is going to come because I feel like if I could just know what time, what day that was, then I could make it. But there's no faith in that. Right, we live anchored to his word and we live obediently. We have to trust that God's timing is perfect and we have to be content with his plan. In the gap, we often wrestle with doubt and the temptation to take matters into our own hands. Y'all ever do that? Y'all ever think, man, Lord, if you could just give me 5 minutes with your ability and I could handle it. Just give me 5 minutes and I'll take matters into my own hands and everything will work out. With me and Lauren, with that waiting, so many times it's like, with the Lord, it's like, Lord, what are you doing? Like I'm waiting and what are you doing? And when I have my ear pressed up to the bathroom door and I'm like, what is she doing? What could she possibly... How many times do we do that with the Lord? Where you're like, Lord, I'm waiting. What are you doing? And my comfort to you is he's working. You're waiting and he's working. Hindsight is always 20/20. There was a time at the church. You know me. I'm not perfect. I've never been accused of being perfect. I've done lots of things wrong and handled things wrong, best intentions sometimes. But one time there was a situation where I handled it wrong here at the church and just handled it wrong, hurt people. And I was just like, man, Lord, why? That was not my intention. I wanted to honor you. I thought I was doing right. made up, things were fine. And then maybe 6 months later, the person came up to me and was like, man, I can see why that was the answer. And I'm thankful, you know, even though you didn't handle it right, I'm thankful for that answer. Why? Because hindsight is always 20/20. Once we get on the other side, we can look back and go, oh, that's why I had to wait. Because it's so much better than I ever could have imagined. You see that? The gap may feel so long, but his timing is perfect. So main idea, don't fear the gap, but embrace it as a place where God is working, shaping you for his purposes. This last point right here, right? We talked about how are we going to wait so well? One, be anchored in the word of God. Number two, live obediently. Right? Don't give in to temptation, to sin, to doubt, to worry, to unbelief. Live obediently. And number three is we have to pursue intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says right here in verse 25. I'm going to read it and let's see if y'all pick up on it. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, he entered the temple. All right? So, like, Simeon is not just some guy like that figured it all out on his own. No, there was intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit. He heard from the Spirit. Like, this walk, waiting well on your own, will not happen. If you are waiting well without the Holy Spirit, then you are waiting alone. The Holy Spirit is the one that showed Simeon, hey, here's the promise. And let's not think, like, we're still pre-Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all people. All right, so this is Simeon, a righteous and devout man, who up until this point, Old Testament and up to here, what we see with the Holy Spirit and the way that he works is that he comes and rests on people, certain people, a select few, for a time, a season, but then that's it, right? Whether it was the prophet, he would come on them, they would prophesy, they would do all that, and then he'd leave. So you have Simeon, who was righteous and devout, but yet he was promised something by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. What you see is that through his being knowing the Word, being anchored in the Word, living obediently, that produces closeness with the Holy Spirit. A.W. Tozer explains it this way. He says, God waits to be wanted. God waits to be wanted. It's intimacy with the Spirit that keeps Simeon's heart alive in the waiting. It's what prepares him to recognize and receive God's answer to his Savior for prayer. This Christian life without the Holy Spirit is not going to work. Look what it says, Galatians 5:25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You see that he guides us, he encourages us, and he reminds us of God's promises. They take Jesus into the temple, right? And they're there. How many other people saw Jesus? None of them recognized him as the Savior. And it's not like Simeon was like, oh, hey, there's a baby. I bet that's the Messiah that Jesus has promised me about. Now, what does it say? It says it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals him to us. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is how we wait so well, because even though everybody else had seen the same baby, they had missed him as the Messiah. It was only Simeon who could see him because of the Holy Spirit was on him. You trying to do life, me trying to do life without the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss so many things. He's the one that reveals them to us. I love because when he sees them, He holds them and then he prophesies and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples. Simeon can praise God in that moment, right? So he had the word, he had the waiting, and then he had the fulfillment. But he can praise God in those moments. Why? Because he's postured his life to do so. You see, there, the word, the gap, and the fulfillment. There are so many times where the fulfillment comes and we miss it. There are so many times where the fulfillment comes and you know what our hearts say? About time. But Simeon postured his heart so that he had the word, he had the waiting, he had the fulfillment, and then what did he do? He praised God after it. When we walk in the Spirit, we can find strength and direction in the waiting. Our faith is anchored in God's promises. Waiting isn't wasted when it's anchored in God's word. We are called to live obediently in our waiting. The gap is where hope and expectation can spring forth. And intimacy with the Spirit is what prepares us to recognize and receive God's answers to our prayers. Our main idea today is don't fear the gap. Embrace it as a place where God is working, shaping you for his purposes. We're going to end service with a song today. And we're going to just respond to the Lord. It's a song that's simple. Yes, I will. We have to get to the point where right now we have to say, Father, I'm going to wait so well. No matter what comes our way. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to wait well with you. So I'm just going to pray and then they're going to lead us in a song and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that for the example that Simeon was and is. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn through him and from him. Father, I pray for my heart first. May I be one that waits so well. Father, may we in this room, may we wait so well where we don't compromise our integrity, where we place others before ourselves, and where it pleases you. Father, we love you. We love you. Amen.